Jackpot. Please welcome Gene Melter.
Good evening. Well, my husband, Matt, and I had a very short courtship, start to finish, the first date to wedding day, 8 months. So that's pretty darn short. And we weren't even friends before that or anything. And I think when you're looking for a prospective mate, the two questions you should ask yourself, I think everyone should ask themselves these questions are, does this person have lots of good qualities, and do I feel great? There's very loud music going on. Do I feel great when I'm with this person? And for me, the answer to both those questions was yes at the end of the second date. And here's what happened that night. So Matt lived in Sacramento. I lived in San Francisco. This is in 1991. And so we had arranged for him to come to the city for the evening. So he arrives at like 6-ish, and he's all dressed up, and he's holding a bouquet of irises, and I'm dressed up. I'm very excited about this. And we walk a couple of blocks from my teeny tiny apartment to a mediocre Italian restaurant. And everything's going well. We're chatting and laughing very easily. It's all very relaxed and easy. And then after that, I've already scoped out the music situation. And so we drive across town to like the Fillmore to a club. And there's a bluesy rock band playing. And we're sitting at our table and chatting. And okay, so this part got a little awkward. And that was we got on the subject of men and women and dancing and how a lot of women love to dance, and a lot of men don't. But yet, it's in the men's power to make the dancing happen, right? Because they were at least in 1991, they're the askers. Women are standing around waiting. It's just not fair. It's not right. I was kind of complaining about this situation, and I rant a little bit. And then he says, "Oh, well, so do you want to dance?" And I said, "No." And He was really taken aback by that, and I really have no idea why I said no, but he's still a little bitter about it, and he brings it up at least once a year, I would say. But anyway, so that band wraps up, and I don't want this. I'm just gonna pause when the band is playing, although it lends atmosphere to my story. So I don't want the date to end. Now Matt's not going to drive all the way back to Sacramento. He has a friend staying in a hotel for a conference in San Francisco who said he could crash at his hotel room. But I don't want the date to end, and so I think, okay, breakfast. We'll go out to breakfast. Now it's like the wee hours. And so we drive back across town, Castro, to a diner, like a 50s diner, and we have a big breakfast. And chatting away, and I'm very tired, but I just don't want this date to end. And you're saying, well, Gene, why didn't you just invite him back to your teeny tiny apartment? But the thing is, it just, second date didn't feel right. And anyway, I didn't have the skills to pull that sort of thing off. So, but then I remember that my friend Laura, who's very into the kind of Latino scene in San Francisco, has mentioned a place that's open all night called Cesar's Latin Palace. And it's now 3 a.m. It's probably the only place left for us to go. And so I suggest this to Matt, and he's all for it. So we drive back across town to like Mission-y, markety area, and we enter this huge nightclub. So it's 2 or 3 floors with the floor set opening onto a huge dance floor and a stage. And so we go in and we get a table. Waitress comes and gets our drink order. Neither of us drink, so we order like Sprites or something. So we're sitting there with our Sprites, and hundreds and hundreds of people, and we look around, and I realize that we're very, very out of place at Caesar's Latin Palace. So, first of all, we're white people. Let's just get that out of the way. And we're the only white people we could see, anyway, in the hundreds of people. And then second of all, even though I thought Matt looked nice, he thought I looked nice, we neither of us really looked nice. Because there's a way some white people, a type of dressing up some white people engage in that is not nice enough, you know. So we're surrounded by like gorgeous people who are really dressed up for a Saturday night. So the women have dresses and heels and hair and makeup, and the men have some nice slacks and nice shirts and shiny shoes, and everybody's coiffed. Everybody looks gorgeous. And we're sitting there sipping our Sprites, and we're wearing like 100% cotton and very comfortable shoes, both of us. And I remember I was even wearing tights with my puffy cotton skirt. You know, I had kind of a turtleneck on. It was like a mock turtleneck, but still. And no makeup, and we're sitting, we basically look like missionaries sitting there in Caesar's Latin Palace. But after a while, one of us suggests to the other, I don't remember, that we dance. Now, Laura, my friend, has shown me a basic salsa step. And so I can do the step, but I'm not even anywhere near having kind of the look or the feel of salsa dancing, and I'll never achieve that probably, but I certainly didn't have it. And so we get out on the dance floor, and I teach the step to Matt, and we kind of go for it, you know? But we're just terrible. And we're surrounded by people who can really dance, and they're not counting out loud or looking at their feet or anything. And we're just terrible. But we stay out there, and Matt just takes it all, you know, he's just with good humor, you know, and he kind of jokes about his loosey-goosey hips, and after a while, we give up dancing together, and we're kind of each doing our own thing, which is totally inappropriate. And I look at him, and I think to myself, wow, this guy is really brave. And 26 years later, our son, our second son, is sophomore in college. He takes a ballroom dance class, and one of the dances is a salsa. And around Mother's Day, I say to him, you know, I don't want a gift. What I want is for you to take me out salsa dancing when you come home. So this just happened a couple weeks ago. I do some research. Madonna Inn has salsa dancing every Tuesday night. So I'm so excited about this, and we get you know, kind of dressed up, and we head over there, and I think it's going to be just old people. I don't know why. I think that just ballroom dance at Madonna Inn, but no, it's the kind of the meeting place for the Cal Poly Salsa Club. So it's young people. So my 21-year-old son is kind of on a date with his mother, and it's all these young people his age. But he's just very gracious about it, and we sit at a table for a while and look around, and we're very conspicuous. And of course, I think back, so we're almost the only white people. I'm almost the only old person, you know, like person over say 50, you know, and he's the only person there with his mother. But after a while, we decide to dance, and we get out there, and we're just terrible. I mean, we're just sad. And I mean, by far the worst. In fact, there were no other bad dancers. It's like 100 good dancers and then us. But he hangs in there. And he's a very shy person, a very reserved person, never seeks attention. And he hangs in there. And he hangs in there. And then after a couple hours, I have mercy on him. And I say, we can go home. And we are walking out to the car. And I say, thank you so much. This was just a wonderful Mother's Day gift. And you know, you're a very brave guy. You know, 99% of the men I know could not abide that situation, you know, could not cope with that situation. And he said, oh, he's very modest. He said, not 99%. And I said, okay, 95%. And you know, you're a really brave guy. You remind me a lot of your father. Thank you.